What a betrayal for Hugh Blackhead when I was telling again. So that you have an idea how I came to Baba. As I explained before.
Have you ever told the story of your coming to Baba before?
Well, I think I've repeated it very often. Beginning to get a bit stale, but if you'd like, I will tell it again. So that you have an idea how I came to Baba. As I explained before, I wasn't looking for anything because I was much too young. In my time, India was very far away, whereas young people were sent mostly, at least away, whereas young people were sent mostly, at least what I was looking for, I was interested in, at least what I was looking for, I was interested in art and reading and going to see museums to visit different European countries. In that time, one went east, whereas one went towards Europe. Nowadays, I have a feeling that you're going towards west, more towards the Orient. I may be wrong, but that's what my feeling is. Now, I knew Princess Machiavelli, Marina Machiavelli, before, when I was very young. And Marina, as you know, was one of the most beautiful women in Europe. She was considered among the 10 most beautiful women that were living at the time. She married. She was brought up. She spoke many languages. She spoke very good, perfect Italian, German, French, and English. She was married to Fulmulo, who was a poet. At the same time, he was a man of affairs. She was very, very beautiful. And her cousin was Heinrich Wörfli. As you know, he's an art historian, a famous art historian from Baal. Her upbringing was a natural upbringing in culture. Maybe today we laugh a bit about the idea of culture, but in those days it's part of one's education. I don't mean this culture of math. Those days is part of one's education. I don't mean this culture of masses. That's something different. But knowing great art, great painting, great writing, and that was her natural way, and very much into modern literature, modern art. She was one of the first to introduce me and to let me know about people like Clay, Kandinsky, which nowadays is considered everybody, not quite, but anyway, it's more common. In those days, it was very, very rare. She knew Hilda Rabay, who had collected what she called the five spiritual painters, which was Feininger, Clay, Kandinsky. I don't recall the others. I would have to hesitate too long. You can cut this out afterwards, don't you? So that, and Norina was very much interested in the modern theater. And that year, when she came to Paris, I was visiting the museums. So she, her husband, as you know, had been the ambassador to Rome when Russia, before the Russian Revolution, not the of the part of Russia that's called, I forget now, what is it called? The name can't come to me. It'll come back. She met him in Rome. She had been divorced by that time because of Prince Machiavelli. And she had already, at that time, played. She knew Reinhardt. And there was a part for her as a Madonna. That was before World War. She played this role, which gave her a great prestige. And as I told you, she was interested in many in the theater, but in the modern theater. Everything was very modern for her. Then she was called to come to America. I think it must have been sometime after the war, to play the miracle with Lady Diana Manners, who was the English, the wife of the English ambassador. Very well known for her great beauty, a great social standing, and her husband, as you know, was during the 1939 war, he was ambassador. He was in the war and then was made ambassador to France. And before that, they both played Madonna. And I was too young, but after this, in the late 20s, I was going to school, and through a schoolmate.
And where were you going to school?
In New York. And through the schoolmate, we were invited because this young friend of mine was interested in the theater, and she wanted to have me meet because she thought Norina was so interesting, who knew Duse, you see. And very excited about being able to enter her school, that is, she wanted to, Juliana, her name was. And I came, and when Norina saw me, she took a tremendous liking to me, and as she had no child of her own, and for some reason there was an unconscious link of great love. So when she came to Paris, I used to go out with her and her husband a little bit in Paris, and we went to America, and he went back to America, and I came back to Europe.
The difference in ages was like a mother and child. Right.
Like a mother and child. So then I had to return to my European travels. My mother was very, very ill. I received this letter. So I returned to America, to New York. And Norina was staying out in Southampton. And I called her up immediately, told her I was back. She said, "Darling, why don't you come out to see me?" I came and we spoke about what I did in Europe and how I was interested. She said, and she used to say to me, "You must meet Picasso, and you must meet Braque, and you must meet Matisse." These were easy names for her, when most people didn't even know they existed. So she said in a talk, she said, "You know, Nettina," she used to sometimes speak Italian to me. She said, "Nettina, you know, there's a great man who's coming soon. Some extraordinary masters coming from India." And she said it in such a way that intrigued me. I said, "A master in the world?" I mean, to myself, I said, "What is that? I've heard of cardinals and priests and things like that. This master, all of a sudden, India," which seemed to be very strange. And I said, "Norina, darling, don't you think if you see him, maybe I can meet him too, because I'm interested to see if he's such a great man." She said, "I'll see. I don't promise, but I'll see." And the Schlossers were helping her with... She was helping the Schlossers, more or less, with a finding of a place up in Harmon and what to do or not. Now, Norina, because of her theatrical training, she wasn't a theatrical woman, but she had a sense of the theater. And so that life, in a way, she expressed herself in the sense of the theater. What seemed strange to others was very natural to her. And then, what was interesting, she had a very deep mystical side that people don't understand. In her heart, she was a mystic. And usually... most people, as mystics, are usually taken for a bit odd or mad or exaggerated. But that you must see her whole world where it was. And she went out. So this happened. She went out to see Baba. She called me up. And to my utter surprise, there were like waves of such crying on the telephone. But such weeping, such terror, as I said, "But Norina, what is it?" She said, "Oh, I feel at last I met what I've always been looking for." And she said, "You know, darling, I made a rendezvous." She met Bob on the 9th of November, and on the 11th, you are to go up to Harmon. And she said, "Don't be afraid, dear. Don't cover yourself too much. Try to get that you feel a little bit free. Don't be stifled," which upset me because it made me very shy. Mm-hmm. the 11th came. I went up to Harmon. And you see, nowadays, if you see bees, you know, you're not startled. But remember, this was 1931. Beards and bare feet and all that were a little bit strange. And I thought, what in the world am I doing here with these odd people who spoke a language that I didn't quite, wasn't used to. And when you're not used to, when you're a little bit, you know, a bit frightened. So Meredith Starr came down and said, you want to meet the master? And I said, yes. He said, well, you're expected. And showed me the way up. There was a kind of a staircase I had to go up. Now, I've been brought up Catholic. And all of a sudden, I was frightened. I said, if this is such a great man, and he's a religious man, how am I to behave? I said, I must do. I have to, you know, I can't shake hands with him. I said, well, the only thing to do is I'll kneel. I'll do the sign of the cross. And I say, bless me, Father. And kiss his hand. And that's all I can do. And my heart was pounding with fear, the tremendous pounding. So the door opened, and seated, like a, you know, a Persian way, Baba had his way of putting his leg up, you see. I looked at Baba, and I went into peals of laughter. I laughed, and I threw myself on Baba, as if to say, my heavens, it's you, and you make me go through all this kind of masquerading and fear when it's you. It's incredible. And I laughed and laughed and laughed, and Baba opened up his arms, and there I was, absolutely raptured in a tremendous sense of joy. And this joy, my ears went on fire. My whole being was taken as if I was in a furnace. And there, Baba said to me, do you know who I am? And I said, yes. And yet I felt very shy about saying it. I'd just come back from a very sophisticated trip through Europe. And I heard myself say, you're the source of all goodness. Mm-hmm. And it's exactly what I felt. But I was I, but no tags, no identification of what is and what is not and all that. I was I. It was absolutely an incredible feeling of, there are no words for it, absolutely no words. And then I sat at Baba's feet. There only were the mandalay. There was Chanji and a few others. And so Baba said to me, what is it you want to do? I said, Baba, I want to be an artist. I love to paint. I just came back from seeing museums, and I'm so interested in art. Baba said, then you will paint me. You can imagine what a shock that was. First of all, I didn't think I was up to it. I was afraid. At the same time, I knew I had to do it, good or bad. He said, you come the day after tomorrow, and you come to see me. And meanwhile, he said to me, about your mother, how is your mother? I said, she's very, very ill. And my mother said, because before I left, mother said, what is this man? I feel that he seems to me, Norina crying. Well, maybe I should see him too. I said, but mummy, you see how you are. You're too sick now. And Baba said to me, well, you will tell your mother not. If she can't come to see me, I'll come to see her. Then I came on the 11th of November, which, as you know, is the day, the 11th of November is the Armistice Day, was a holiday. And there, I came again. The same thing happened. I was told to go upstairs. By this time, there was no shyness. And Baba sap. I took out my paint box. I looked at him. He said, this is the first time I've ever posed for someone. And I looked at him. I have absolutely no recollection of the time. There was a stillness and a complete silence. I cannot tell you how long it was or what happened. All I know that I looked at Baba and Baba looked at me. And there was an extraordinary happening in the sense that I noticed that Baba had eyes that took color and light differently. There was a change. If you notice most people's eyes, they're kind of dead, you know, they have no real light. They're very set. Whereas Baba's would go back, would go forth, they would shine, they would stop shining, they took different color. It was an incredible experience. And the skin, the same way, because Baba had a tremendous sensitivity, and that sensitivity, even his skin, would take color, would be another color, and then Baba stopped. I didn't even think of showing Baba the portrait. I took my brushes, I took my paint.
How long was the sitting?
No recollection at all. Absolutely none. To this day, I couldn't tell you. But the portrait was in a... You could have gone forever doing it, would have been. But in the state it was enough. And I said to Baba, no, one can't paint you. And he said, why? One can't paint you. And he said, why? He said, why? I said, because you are ever changing. Your eyes change, your skin changes. How can one paint you? You can't be painted. And Baba said that was right. He said, and I too am an artist. Look at the universe. So I left with my paint box, and from that moment, Baba said, every spare moment you have, you come. So every spare moment, I would come. I was nothing, you see, I was nobody, because they're all doing official work, but I was a kind of a sat at Baba's feet, did absolutely wash Baba's socks when he sent them down. They put me on the couch to sleep, and I'd put me on the chair, so that I really enjoyed Baba in the most intimate way. That contact was extremely personal. And when I was with Baba, I would only be with Mandali and Baba. Now, do you want me to continue?
Yes. Beautiful.
I don't know. And then Baba came to New York. Now, if you interrupt me, you will you won't let me continue my thought. I didn't think you'd be there, but anyway, I'll try not to notice you. This was in 1931. And Baba, as you know, went to Boston, and then he went to New York. And when he went to New York, I used to go on these little trips with him. They put him in the hotel Astor, which was at Times Square. It was very amusing because there, he looked, there was a big sign outside. And Baba pointed it out to me, and it said, strictly dishonorable. Mm-hmm. And we laughed about him, and he pointed it out, he said, that was he. But it was a play that was being given. But the Baba had such a tremendous sense of humor, as you know. He was able to say the most incredible things. And then, of course, there were all these meetings with the that he's interviewed, and he wanted to particularly meet a lot of artists at the time.
He wanted it.
Yes, he wanted to meet artists. Of course, I didn't know. I was so preoccupied with the illness of my mother. I wasn't in all these other things, what was happening. Yes, he did went to see my mother. And that was a very interesting happening. Because my mother was a very religious person and a very Catholic person. And she was dying of cancer. Naturally, thinking of Baba at the time, I didn't understand. I thought or maybe a miracle might happen. We were so unaware what things, how they should be done, what was happening. And when my mother saw him, Baba picked her up in his arms and held her.
Actually, lifted her?
No. Yes, she sat up and he held her in his arms. Right. Baba used to make a little noise like that before. And, you know, to my utter amazement, I never thought that mothers were unhappy beings. I never thought a mother was a mother. She was there. You never thought that she may have had a sorrow in her life, or that she may have been unhappy, or that she may have had things that you didn't know. So when Baba put her in his arms, and I saw this weeping, and this weeping seemed to come from the such a deep, deep sorrow, that I was startled. And I said to my mother, I said, "Mummy, don't cry." And Baba motioned to me to be still. And he said to her, "Birds that are free do not realize their freedom like birds that are caged. And you will be free soon." Naturally, I thought that freedom was giving her this sort of life. And from that moment on, let's say her illness took a very extraordinary way of being. Even though she was dying of cancer, there was a happiness in her and a joy. And she said to me these strange words. She said to me, "Now I'm going to die happy because I know you're going to live in Baba's heart. Mm-hmm. And I see the changes that are going to happen in the world." She said, "Such terrible changes." Because she said, "The low want to become the high. And that's going to be a very big battle." Well, I thought my mother was nice. I thought it was part of her illness. Well, I thought my mother was nice. I thought it was part of her illness. I didn't quite understand what it meant. And so that she, by that time, the right doctor came, which had a wonderful relationship with him. And even her priest had a new relationship. She never mentioned it, but there was a kind of a... she knew when she was going to die. And she didn't want me to be disturbed by that death. She said, "Now..." She explained to me. She said, "You know, now I'm going to leave this body soon." She said, "Old clothes, when you throw them away, they don't worry you." She said, "You're young. Don't be disturbed. I'm going to try and give myself, I'm going to give you all the least trouble possible." She had a wonderful nurse who adored her. Wonderful nurse. And that weekend that she was going to die, I happened to go up to see a friend because I was a bit tired. And they called me and I came back and there she, as if she was waiting for me. He said, "How silly to disturb you." So when she was dying, she was able to put herself in the position of closing her eyes, her own eyes. And you know, in the Catholic religion, we cross our hands. She was able to do that.